endocrinologist Dr. Tay Tun Lin, 1 in 9 Singaporeans will consider obese.
It does seem like a losing battle.
Hey, you're looking at me fat. I won't feel good receiving that, you know?
We actually term it as a complex disease.
What the heck?
Are you snacking too much? This is your daily catch-up.
Am I? Boom.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I think that we've all dealt with weight problems like at some point in our lives, right? But it turns out that there is a lot more to it than eating too much and exercising too little. And today we have an endocrinologist, Dr. Tay Tun Lin, to tell us more about that. Welcome to the show!
Welcome, Dr. Tay!
Welcome, Dr. Tay!
What is endocrinologist?
Yeah, it is a mouthful and nobody actually knows what it is. Nobody go and Google what is endocrinology, right?
Because they cannot spell.
Yeah, that's one. So for endocrine, right, we actually look at the hormone system. We look at conditions that are influenced by our hormones. For example, the commonest thing would be things like diabetes, thyroid. So those are the things that are bread and butter for endocrine, lah. But obesity is another major condition that we look into.
So when you say hormones, right, what is that?
Sorry, busy question.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think, by the way, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. So hormones are actually, you can think of it as messages, lah. From our body, one part of the organ to the rest of the body to tell the body to function properly.
So when they talk about like boys and girls relationship, they say, oh, it's their hormones talking. Like, what's that mean actually? Like, which part of the hormones are we talking about?
Well, I would suppose that would be more our female male hormones that drive our libido, you know, things like that.
But do you think being a doctor in this makes you like very detached from your emotions? Because it's just, you know that it's just
all chemical.
A chemical response.
Well, we are humans too. So we do are affected by our own hormones as well. Yeah, but I mean, it does help us to realize that there are a lot of things which are influenced by things that are in the subconscious.
Right.
So our behavior towards things like our mood, towards our relationship with food even, can be driven by certain hormones that are in our body at play.
So you're saying like all of our behavior, everything that we do,
I don't like the word all.
Most than doctors.
A lot of the things that most
of the things that we do can be explained through like, oh, this is like a particular hormone that is being activated.
There are certain things that are influenced by genetics, by our hormones, but of course there are other aspects as well, like our environment, the things psychologically. Okay, so these are other aspects that do affect our behavior, our responses to law.
When I first heard about the episode that we were going to be doing today, I was very fascinated because I've struggled my fair share with like weight and all this kind of stuff also, right? Since you study this, right, is it an arising issue that we need to be concerned about?
Oh, I can answer that actually.
Because she coming for it.
Let me just kick you off with some stats. The Ministry of Health releases a National Population Health Survey every year, and in the 2022 edition, page 89, it showed that 11.6% or 1 in 9 Singaporeans were considered obese. Yeah. And on top of that, 22.3% of them were also in the high risk BMI category.
So in context, is that a very high number? Or is it?
I mean, if we are talking about trend, right? 10 years ago, I think the numbers were around half of what this is.
Okay.
So we are seeing a trend towards increasing number of patients who are obese or overweight.
What do you think is causing the trend?
Number one, in the last 3-4 years, COVID didn't help. The pandemic didn't help. The dentistry, you are stuck at home. So I do see quite a few patients turning at my clinic after this entire pandemic. they have gained 10 kgs already.
Yeah.
So besides that, a lot of other environmental things are also at play. Our stress levels have gone up. A lot of processed foods that are easy to access are also present. Stress levels, when it goes up, psychologically, some people may actually go to food for comfort as well.
Is there like a cause of weight gain that people don't realize is causing the weight gain?
There are certain endocrine conditions that may predispose patients to weight gain also. So for example, hypothyroid, if patients have low thyroid hormone levels, they can have a few kilos of weight gain. Patients who have underlying polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a common hormonal disruption in females.
Also, PCOS.
Yes, PCOS. PCOS. Yeah. It can also predispose patients to gain weight too. Yeah, so for all these conditions, we try to make sure we don't miss them and treat them appropriately because the root cause is important.
And so since we're on the topic of obesity, right, how is obesity measured?
A few ways. One of them is by our weight, of course, and we calculate their BMI, body mass index, weight over height square. Yeah, that will give us a BMI. And if we have a BMI above 30, that's considered obese. Above 23.5 is actually overweight.
But how accurate is that? Because depending on the composition, what if it's all like muscle mass and it's not fat?
Yeah, so besides that, right, besides the weight alone, we also look at the patient's waist circumference. So waist circumference, if it's beyond, for gentlemen, if it's beyond 90 centimeters in the Asian context, too big already, lah, okay? Then for ladies, if it's above 80 centimeters.
For me, right? Like I classify myself as fat, but then I don't think like I am very unhealthy in the sense that like I do experience like shortness of breath, etc., right? So at what point is obesity a like medical problem?
Unfortunately, obesity is not a single dimension.
Right.
There's just multiple factors at play. So that's why we actually term it as a complex disease, equivalent to any other diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, a chronic disease. And it's actually a complex chronic disease. And we know that it's a root cause of many, many conditions, cancers, mechanical problems, sleep apnea, diabetes, high blood, heart attacks. So all these actually come from the first condition, which is obesity as a disease. We do classify obesity according to some stages as well.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some classification that we actually use, the Edmonton Obesity Score.
The what?
Edmonton Obesity
like
Score.
Like badminton without the B?
ED, E-D-M-O-N.
Close.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it gives us some idea, okay, how intensively do we need to intervene in this person's health, okay?
Right.
So if the person is, let's say, stage zero, overweight or obese, but quite healthy, you know. But if we go up the stages, we may want to be more aggressive in our approaches to manage them.
Oh, like what? When you say aggressive like what,
okay.
What are your methods?
Them having diabetes already, or if they are having heart attacks, we may actually want to say, hey, I think you need a bit of medications to help you out to lose and maintain the weight. Or even if their BMI is really very high, we may even talk about bariatric surgeries, okay, to help them lose the weight.
I think for the people with, say, like diabetes and all that kind of stuff, it's quite clear cut in the sense that, okay, if you don't make changes to your lifestyle, then there are going to be adverse effects. But what I'm more interested in is the people who, I think a bit like Denise, who aren't feeling anything and then they don't really have a push factor to make changes in their life. And then if you tell people, oh, it's all about behavioral change, she can't get herself out of that environment where she's stressed and she needs to eat, which is like, say, the workplace, and there's a pantry over there.
Oh my god, you need to walk past the pantry to get to the toilet every day. That's the problem.
The company is the problem.
we only sell vegetable sticks now.
Okay, when we move, can you just design and like, put in the corner?
Pantry.
Remove the pantry. Yeah, I mean, I think for patients who are metabolically still healthy, I think it's about sending a message that, you know, long term, if the weight carries on increasing, it will actually reduce their lifespan. I think it's also about finding meaning to that person. If that person feels tired all the time, you know, is the weight actually contributing to the lethargy? And if he or she manages to lose a couple of kilos, is that going to improve the quality of life for that person?
When I try to take a step back and look at the bigger picture, we look at the food industry, we look at all of this, right, and consumerism and whatnot. And it does seem like a losing battle. Because fast food and all this, right, like, how are you going to beat this, right? They have found a way to make people addicted to it already, and it's so accessible. Like, it's so cheap.
It's so delicious.
Versus, yeah, it's so delicious. Yeah, after this McDonald's. Okay, but yeah. Then, right, you look at healthy food. Is it accessible?
It's more expensive.
More expensive, yeah. And everything seems to go against profit and the goals of these industries. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I will say that we do have to make mindful decisions, lah. Okay, if we want to see change in ourselves or in our patients, we need to guide them and to ask them to seriously think about like health consequences and make every decision a mindful one. You know, we can't just blindly follow and expect that hey, we are going to lose weight tomorrow because we continue to make the same decisions today as yesterday. Yeah, fast food joints are everywhere. But would you be able to prioritize yourself to maybe, instead of walking past that fast food joint, take a detour so that you don't remind yourself of it. You know?
Outside of mind.
So I think ways like that, lah, okay? If you really want to change, I think you have to make a way. Lah.
No, so but, I think if like as a simple step, right? If say tomorrow I want to start eating better and then now I go to the Cai Fan store, what should I order?
She would say don't go to the Cai Fan store.
No, then what can I eat? Like say if every day I no choice I have to eat out because in the Singaporean society, then like no time to cook, then I'm very busy.
Yeah,
then what are my options?
I understand. A lot of patients are like that too. And I do empathize. I mean, we go through the same thing as well. So I think if we are at, let's say a hawker center, so what are the things that we can choose from in terms of the choices that we have that will be a little bit better, something lighter, okay? Try to avoid the deep fried food. And also it's about portion control. So can we try to maybe opt for a lesser portion rather than eating the full meal? Yeah, so can we try that and make it something that's sustainable, some middle ground that we can go for.
So what do you eat for lunch?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say cartons of pizza.
Yeah, I had noodles. Yeah, so a portion of noodles.
Yeah.
And then that's about it.
So so you can eat like
normal.
You don't have to stick to like healthy, super clean stuff and all that.
I think where I resonate with what Jared said is that to me I feel like I struggle because it's so much psychological to me. Like, you know, for example, you say like to make the mindful choice to choose to eat something cleaner or healthier, right? Or portion better. But then to me, whenever I think about it, it's like, okay, I say tomorrow I'm going to cut down sweet drinks. Then this whole week, I only drink sweet drinks twice a week, for example. But after that, later, I think like, I really want to drink like a teh-peng today. And I think I'll be much happier if I drink a teh-peng. So then I give in to drinking the teh-peng, you know?
Yeah. We are humans, so I think it is difficult to say be so disciplined all the time. So I think we also need to have some compassion on ourselves, and we also try to give compassion to our patients. It's not easy to walk their path, lah. Okay. So sometimes we may have to give a bit of leeway, but in the end it's about planting the seed and making sure that they try to keep to it, lah. Okay, make small steps and have targets. So I think we try to set some targets, achievable ones, and see whether they can try and reach there in small ways.
Are there like, maybe what are three questions that I should ask myself, right, to check whether I am eating mindfully? Because the one that I usually hear is the, are you really hungry?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I'm not sure whether there are more specific ones that are more effective ones that we can use.
Yeah, I think asking yourself, okay, are you really hungry in the first place? Yeah, do you need to eat now? Are you just eating because you're bored? You know, what's the reason for you wanting to go to the pantry?
Okay, so why am I eating?
Yeah, why are you eating? Why are you going to the pantry and looking for food? Yeah, so that's one. Then the other one is, can I slow down?
Yeah. So you failed the first step, right? Now it's like, can I eat it slower?
Yeah, okay. Can I eat it slower?
Because your mind needs 20 minutes to register when you're full.
Yeah, that's right. So we do need a bit of time, you know, for our brain to understand, hey, actually, I'm full already. And give you
there's a delay.
Yeah, they always say eat slower.
Then if not right now, my brain already knows this, why can't it update?
Because your hormones, they messenger.
My body working against me.
Yeah. All the time.
It's a bit slow.
What the heck?
You do need to give your body a bit of time.
Okay. Can I eat slower? And then third one, can I dabao? can I share this for dinner?
Really hurt to have one more.
Does Jared want half of this?
Yeah.
Then I do my own mindful thinking and then like it's
efficient. And then, you know, if your body telling you it's full, I mean, am I full? Can I actually stop now? Yeah.
Okay. Why am I eating? Can I slow down? Should I stop now?
It all seems like.
Okay, let's go.
At least you need one step, lah. Especially with weight loss, right? Like I've heard people say that it has everything to do with diet and nothing to do with exercise. How true is that?
I think we do need both hand in hand. Diet has a greater effect in helping us to lose weight really quickly. If we restrict our calories, yeah, we're going to see our weight come down, you know, just after two to four weeks. Lah. But if we only emphasize on calorie restriction and not in building our muscles, once we start losing our weight, we would see that our metabolism actually slows down. Our body senses, hey, we lost weight. We need to slow down our resting metabolic rate. And therefore, your metabolism actually slows down. You see that your weight plateaus or even start to regain. We need the muscle mass to help us to increase the body's metabolism. So we do need the exercise too to be able to help us maintain the weight that I've lost.
But so can you get into that a bit? Because I think a lot of people don't understand how carbs is like convert into sugar. Like I only recently learned that and I still don't fully understand, right? Oh. But to me, whenever I read all the nutritional facts, right, like I see carbs as a bad thing.
It's true that, you know, carbs get broken down into sugars in our body. And if someone has diabetes, it can cause a spike in the sugars, lah. Okay. But we can't run away from carbs as well.
Yep.
So we try to go for a moderate portion of healthy carbs, brown rice, okay, wholemeal breads, sourdough. Yeah, so these are better options compared to things like, you know, the fast food kind of...
mashed potato.
Yeah, mashed potato.
Fries.
Wow, I had it yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop saying all the nice stuff. Why is sugar bad? Can I say that?
Why is sugar bad?
Yeah, too much sugar bad or why is sugar bad? Yeah.
Of course, if there's too much sugar circulating in the body, it has to go somewhere, right? And a lot of times that gets deposited as fats in our body, either under our skin or around our major organs. So excessive calories or excessive sugars, you know, turn into fats, unfortunately. Yeah. So that's why I think we do have to be a bit mindful about the portion.
So that means if I look at it, right, I have protein, fat and carbs, right? All the carb will become sugar, they will then become fat. Then the fat will be fat.
So carbs also gets used up by our body as energy too. So if you're exercising, our muscles, our brain, we actually do need the sugars to function properly. But anything in excess will, you know, get deposited
converted
as
into fat.
Right. Okay.
Actually, on the topic of like metabolism, right? Is it true that because I got some friends who, you know, they're skinny. And then they eat whatever they want. They eat more unhealthy than me and they never get fat. Then they just say, oh, it's my metabolism. But then meanwhile, I am here, right? Like, I have to work out 6 days a week. I have to watch my diet. And then the minute I get off that diet, right? Like, maybe I give myself, okay, it's Christmas break. I want to just eat, rest for 5 days. And then I see the weight just shoot back.
I think it's quite true, unfortunately. Genetically, we do have friends who make us very, very jealous because they are just eating next to you and then you are down there trying to cut your calories. So it is a little bit sad. I know, I mean, this is what we always say, right? Just try to be disciplined and all. I cannot emphasize this enough, but think long term, must think long term for your health.
Okay.
For health, not aesthetic. but aesthetic is a bonus.
But I'm wondering, right, because, I mean, you've seen so many patients and we talked about, I think in other episodes, we have also mentioned that a big reason why people cannot sustain weight loss is because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm. And even in our discussion today, it also does bounce back a little to like aesthetic purposes and all that. So amongst your patients that you have seen or the people that you have helped, right, what do you think is the most common, almost effective switch that flips in their head, right? Mm. That really gets their mind into the right mindset?
I think sometimes we do need a push. Mm. So for example,
ask your friend to keep telling you you're fat. No.
Or take the dog hostage.
No, well, things like, okay, they just had a new baby. So they may start thinking, hey, I really have trouble trying to play with my kids. I can't even carry my child properly. Quality of life issues lah.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And I think thinking long term, okay, can I see my child grow up? Now I already have pre-diabetes at 30, for example. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So 10 years down the line, am I going to be as healthy? Will I still be there for my child? You know, things like that. La. So you know, maybe thinking in terms of...
guilt.
Not guilt, la, but what motivates you to... What gives you meaning in life? La. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is a healthy like rate of weight loss that you should have? Like, yeah. Because I always like want to... lose 5 kg in 1 month, that kind of thing. But okay. Like I think in my experience that has not been sustainable or feasible.
So about 5-10% of your baseline weight over the next 3-6 months, that's generally considered healthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, slow and steady.
7 kg in 6 months. If I'm say 70 kg, then
so you're 70 kg.
I'm 70 kg.
What the heck? I'm almost 20 kg heavier than you.
No way. But you're taller.
No lah.
By 2 cm.
Okay. Sure.
So if I'm 70 kg, then to lose 10%, that will take 6 months.
About 1 kg per month.
It's the healthy. It's not how long it will take to lose. It's healthy amount. That's why you ask her.
Then what does it mean by unhealthy? That means if I lose weight faster than that, what
happens? You know, crash diet.
Yeah. Crash diets, if you're taking only 800 calories a day, every day for
done
1 month, you're going to drop the weight very, very quickly. But it's not sustainable. And you'll see that, okay, it's going to rebound very fast because you can't keep to 800 calories every day long term.
Yeah. Can I ask, is targeted fat loss a thing?
Targeted fat loss.
Like if you say I only want to lose stomach fat, then I just...
Liposuction. Targeted fat.
Well, he's not wrong.
Like I just do ab exercises plus diet.
Actually, what we want is, not just the number changing on the scale. La. It's actually... the health outcomes. So I mean, we do want to try and bring down the waist circumference because we know that fats deposited over the belly has a higher chance of you developing cardiac problems, cardiovascular disease. It's a predictor of that. So we do hope that the inches over the waist can come down, but I think it will come down if we keep to, you know, that lifestyle and dietary changes that we mentioned.
Actually, what are your thoughts on the body positivity movement? I think that's been kind of gaining traction in the past few years, right? Of like people who are perhaps their BMI might be higher, but they are saying that I am who
accept
I am.
Me for this.
I am who I am. I don't need to change. Like from a medical perspective, like what do you think of that kind of trend?
I think if you're talking about the purpose of body positivity movement in the sense that my self-worth is not tied to my weight, then I think, great, that's a positive message, lah. Okay? But if you're talking about, I can not care about my health because I want to accept my weight for what it is, maybe we should try to reframe those ideas because we do know that they have an impact long-term on a person.
So let's say you're scrolling through TikTok and you see a person with obesity, but then they are advocating for... what?
Body positivity.
Body positivity. Yeah. Then how? You leave a comment there. Maybe you...
Well, maybe not to that extent, but I think...
No, but does it not... Because this is your specialty, right?
Yeah.
Which means that it's also something you care quite a lot about, right? So when you see something like that, don't you want to like, oh no, let me help you, right?
Yeah, of course, if you can try and save everybody, we'll try. But I think we also need to see whether a patient is ready or not.
I think that it's just a whole kind of like miss, or at least not a lot of people know that, like you said, it's now what regarded as a disease.
Mm.
So, and I think at least from a medical perspective, the cold hard facts are there in terms of like, sure, but like, this is all the things that it does to you.
Yeah. And we know, like, you know, when your weight comes down by just 5%, 10%,
oh,
we can actually see that health benefits already. So we don't need the patient to you know, go back from a BMI of 30 to 21 or 22, oh, okay, 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 to get to a healthier state.
Yeah.
So so we don't need a patient to look like a model, lah, you know.
So take one step, don't jump down the staircase.
We don't have to, yes. Yeah, we just want you to be healthy.
So if I notice somebody that I feel like might need help, but I mean, because I'm not a medical professional, I also don't know whether they actually have underlying health problems or whatever, right? But how can I then encourage my friends that I care about to try to do something about it in a way that doesn't embarrass them? Yeah. You know, like, I kind of like, hey, you're looking at me fat, you know, you want to go see doctor. Like, that's so...
Yeah,
I won't feel good receiving that, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And like,
sure,
we talked about like how it's a disease, right? A lot of things like rooted in psychological and other environmental factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then
how do you
how do I take that first step, you know? How do I encourage someone to take the first step?
Okay. Of course, don't do it in a group setting, ah. Don't bring it up. Yeah, you may want to maybe talk in private to your friend if you're a bit concerned, like, okay, you saw her last year and she was not as heavy, and this year she definitely looked like she has gained quite a bit of weight. If you notice, oh dear, she even looks a bit breathless on walking.
Right.
So maybe you could just address the symptoms that you are concerned about. Okay. It's maybe not just the appearance, like, but, you know, if she complains, I'm so tired nowadays, or, you know, I'm so run down nowadays, my sleep is so poor, you may want to go through those areas and then suggest maybe you should talk to somebody about those symptoms and see whether this 10 kgs that you've gained in the last year could have contributed to that.
So aside from BMI, also noticing like the symptoms of the issue.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good way to, kind of like, not directly addressing.
Okay. Thank you.
Interesting. That's useful.
All right, and that's it for today. This episode was brought to you by Novo Nordisk. So a big thank you to them. And of course, Dr. Tay.
Thank you very much.
We hope that today's episode has given you a better understanding of obesity. And for more information, you can head down over to the links below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Snack time.
Oh my God.
I've done like weight loss competitions.
Weight loss competition?
Internal la, with my friends out there. But them unhealthy because I chunk to lose like, I think 10 kg in like a month, that kind. Like to the point where the day before the weigh-in, right, I go sauna and sweat as much as possible. You know what I mean?
You guys really take this seriously? Yeah?
No, got money, got prize money.
Then what happened the month after?
I lost because we didn't do it by percentage of the current.
Oh.
So the fattest person, he lose the most, ma. Yeah. If not, if by percentage, I think I would have won. But then the crazy thing is, within less than a week, I gained back almost everything. It's that fast. It's crazy. And super unhealthy also.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.